Welcome back and Happy New Year. If you're listening to this on or around its release day, if you've only just found us and you're listening in October, probably less relevant to be wishing you a Happy New Year. But it's early January and a time when many of us reflect on the year that's gone and what we want to achieve or affect this year. Well, my guest today is the perfect person to help guide you in your planning. Juliet Dyke qualified as a career coach in 2015. She used her own life experience and career experience to find her true calling, and she hasn't looked back since. But her experience took her on some ups and downs, and it wasn't all plain sailing. And one of her niches now is in helping clients to use those highs and lows to figure out exactly what's next. If you're thinking of making any kind of change this year, whether personal or professional, then stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. Thank you very much for joining us, Juliet. Obviously, this is the first podcast of the year, so Happy New Year to you. And a time when we always have New Year's resolutions and so on. I don't know how you feel about those, but, you know, as a career coach, and you've written a great piece for our website about setting goals, I wonder how you came to become a career coach, and had you always set yourself that goal?
Yes, well, thank you. That's an interesting one, because I think my approach to goal setting has evolved over time and with experience. And I tend to hold back now from being too rigid about them, because sort of life doesn't necessarily always cooperate. So in terms of how I came to do the work that I do, was I had worked in, you know, the corporate space for many years and jumped about in different professions trying to find my thing, which I'm sure many, you know, listeners can identify with. And I got to a point, I think it was 2014, something like that, where I really hit a wall with it all. And I thought, right, well, what do I want outside of work? And the answers were, you know, living somewhere I really loved. I wanted to move to the coast. So we lived in London at the time, wanted to move to Brighton, and we wanted to start a family. And I thought, as many, many people do, I was like, right, okay, have the baby, you know, and then on maternity leave, use that time to figure out and reevaluate what I want to do.
Yes.
And then that will all sort of magically happen. And then at some point we'll move to the coast, and then it will tie up together beautifully.
It's sounding like some kind of Hollywood film here.
Yeah, maybe that's what was subconsciously influencing me. And of course, you know, things did not work out like that at all. See, this is the interesting part to it. So it turned out, so we had a lot of difficulties getting pregnant, and we ended up having to do IVF, and that all took about 5 years in the end, so it was super really? Long time.
Yes.
With a happy ending, we had our little girl, and that's all good. But in the meantime, it was really tough personally. So I thought, well, what can I do to at least work on the other bits and make myself happy in the other areas? So the first thing we did was we thought, right, let's move. We that's in our control. So we did. We moved to the coast. But I ended up with this very long commute, 4 hours a day, which was because I worked in North London. So that's like 2 hours commute each way. But strangely, that time, I started to use that time on the train to think about what I wanted in terms of a career. I would listen to podcasts. I don't think yours was out at the time.
No, we weren't around then.
I would definitely have listened to it, but similar things, and reading, you know, development books of personal development, business development, and most helpfully was brainstorming and journaling in a notebook and scribbling.
Really?
Just, yeah.
How do you do that? I know obviously people talk about journaling and that's the thing, but being really honest, I have no idea what that really means.
I think I got some prompts maybe from some of the books that I'd been reading, but it was just off. A lot of it was maybe sometimes people feel a bit skeptical about visualization, I think, but it was more about just painting a picture for myself of how would I like my life to look like? What would my ideal day look like, my ideal work day? You know, how would I like things to be? And there's a little exercise in the workbook that you mentioned, which I find clients can really access easily, which is thinking about three words to describe how you'd like to feel, say in the next year or in the next 90 days or what have you. Sometimes, because if you ask people, what are your goals? You know, what do you want? Sometimes it's really hard to describe that. You don't know.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you feel like you have to come up with something so big, you know, what are your goals? Oh, I want to be CEO or run my own business or something like that. Actually,
some of the things you're talking about, how do you want to feel, they can be, make it a bit like a jigsaw puzzle and just putting one piece in at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think it taps into a different part of you. It's not so much a head decision. It taps into your heart and your gut instinct. You sort of know how you want to feel deep down. It seems to be simpler for clients to give me an answer to that question. And then you take those words and you think about, well, how present, how active are these words in my life at the moment? Because that gives you a gauge, like, actually, I don't feel like that at all. Mm. Or I do feel like that a lot of the time, but when I'm doing something else, maybe I need to look into that more. And the other thing is letting those words guide you in your decisions rather than maybe being very, very logical or, again, sort of very head orientated. Like, well, if I wanted to feel, I don't know, happier or have more fun, how did that affect the decisions I make in the next year or so?
That's really interesting. I mean, just coming probably at the point where we are in the year and having been through, I think one of my goals for this year is going to be to just feel less tired. And yet I tend to be prone to taking on quite a lot of things. And so being less tired doesn't mean having more time sleeping in bed. It's actually just, doing some things that are less tiring, I suppose. So that's really interesting. I'm going to keep that in mind and write some goals. I just also, at the start, you talked about when you were trying to get pregnant and you sort of said, well, okay, well, what are the things that are within my control? And I'd love to unpick that a bit more. Because again, I'm vastly generalizing, but I don't think we often enough sit down and think, what is within my control and am I just going to let slide because it's outside of that arena? I guess what other things, or how do you go about thinking through that process of what's within my control?
It's funny you say think through. I don't know if it was an instinct, but it's almost like I started to sort of prioritize what I wanted and what I could do. And also there was a level of stubbornness and determination. I thought there are some things I really, really want, and I don't know. I could never be 100% sure, A, if we would have a baby, and B, if I'd find this dream career. I could never 100% guarantee it, but I knew I wanted it so much, and I would find a way. And maybe that's the thing, is that I was prepared to be flexible about what that looked like. And I think it's about the elements that are present in that. So let's take looking for a dream career. You might have in your head, I definitely want to do this kind of job, this job title. That's the only thing. But actually, when you break it down, and again, you do this in coaching, when I'm working with clients, you break down, well, what are the elements in that are present there? You know, what are your values? What's important to you? And are those present in that role? What are your strengths? What are you great at? Does this role allow you to use them? And, you know, what motivates you? What gives you a sense of purpose? Is that present in that job? And it actually gives you more choices. So you really realize, actually, if these are the things that are important to me, maybe that's not the only job in the world that will tick those boxes. Maybe there are other ways of, because those are the things that are going to make you fulfilled in a job and in life generally. So it kind of broadens your mind a bit. So I think if you are aware, if you do that kind of inner work first, it gives you more options and you can be a bit more flexible about what the end goal really looks like. And in a family sense, I think I allowed myself, it's a long journey, and I know it's not necessarily to do with careers, but there was a sort of parallel. I allowed myself to think about other ways of what a family might look like, i.e. maybe adoption, these kind of things. So I wasn't so rigid or hell-bent on one outcome, and maybe that helped me keep going.
So it's really interesting. So you can do this, obviously we talk a lot about careers and so on, but it's actually, you know, so transferable. You could use it for a number of different aspects in your life.
Yeah, maybe the things that you learn through doing coaching, because it is all inner work, it's just about you, these are maybe transferable to, these are life skills as well as career research skills.
Can I ask, so if you're listening to this and you don't have that, I want to be a blah, would you still use, where do you start with that? And do you still use some of those same processes?
Yeah, I mean, do you mean what if someone's really like, I hate what I'm doing, but I don't know where to go next?
yes, I hate what I'm doing, or I've had a huge gap. 2022 is my year. I'm going to find something that I find fulfilling and rewarding.
Well, it's that kind of holy trinity, really. Like I said, it's looking about. So your values are the things that matter to you. And you can look for those in that are present in companies, that are present in potential future bosses or colleagues. You know, these are things that you can look for a match with. Then your strengths, which is understanding what you're great at. And these are often just naturally there. You were born with them and you just need some tools to help identify them. And then the last bit is, again, looking at kind of what motivates you, what gives you that sense of purpose and what gets you out of bed in the morning. So if you can work those out, for me, those are the three things. Doesn't matter if you've been out of work for years. Doesn't matter if you really don't know where you're headed. If you know those things, they are like a compass that you can follow. They will take you somewhere good, I promise.
Yeah, as you're talking, I'm just thinking those three things. I'm very fortunate. I have found those now. And what I do with Careering Into Motherhood, or what we're just launching, is exactly all of those things for me. So my compass, my values, all of those things combined. But, and there is a big but, it's taken me, well, I mean, I suppose it's been the process of my entire working life, but certainly over the last 6 years when I've been trying this and that and the other. And so I've done it by trial and error. And had we had a conversation many years ago, I could have probably saved myself a lot of time, effort and money. But it's a really interesting way of thinking about it.
I actually want to say something about that, because, again, I get a lot of clients who come to me and are worried about having wasted time, or how their life experience and work experience to date will somehow be lost, or it's been a mistake. And I just want to say that that's absolutely not the case. It's all incredibly valuable. And really, the whole process of working out what you want to do is a process of self-awareness. And there will be things that you've learned that you didn't know when you were 20 or 25 or 30 or 30. You know, these are things that come through life experience and they tell you about you. And you may have gained amazing skills along the way, especially having kids teaches you, God, so many incredible skills. So don't beat yourself up about having tried stuff that didn't work. At least then you know what doesn't work and you know what you don't want, and you can cross those off and go, I will never do that again.
That's so really true. Yeah. Really true. Very recently, I sort of fell into recruitment to try and help working mums find senior roles, etc. But it didn't satisfy anything in me, other than obviously that joy when you place somebody, a working mum who's had a long gap or who's been told no so many times. And people, I actually walked away from a revenue generating business because it just was not my thing. And it was something inside me was just dying by doing that. But the experience and the skills and the attitude that I learned meant I, as you say, I could cross that off my list and what it was I didn't want to do. So
absolutely. Interesting. And being able to sort of put a boundary in place and say, I'm not doing that anymore. Especially for women, sometimes it can be hard to put a boundary and tell people no.
I want to talk especially, I mean, so much of it seems relevant for right now, but around inner strength or strengths. You know, I think last year tested us all to the nth degree. Now, let's not say for one second that we are out of the other side, but I think and I sense that there is more understanding of what we are capable of and what we can do, what we can't do, what we want, what we don't want. So, yeah, I mean, I just love your thoughts on how, you know, past experience can help contribute to your, you know, your strength of today.
Yeah, I think when you are using your strengths, when you know what they are and you use them, it gives you strength. And that was kind of a message I wanted to share today in terms of it's worth finding something you love to do, not as a sort of nice to have. It's not a sort of little frilly extra. I think it's really fundamental to obviously giving you a sense of purpose and making a difference. But also for me, I feel so lucky, even though my life plan did not come out in the order that I wanted it to, because I had found the work I loved kind of before, sadly, during our whole kind of IVF process. We lost a little girl, and it was a very, very dark time for us, you know, for me. But I had this work, this incredible work that I loved. And there was a moment where I thought, can I go back to work? How am I going to do this? How am I going to coach people? This is impossible. But, you know, I sort of did it in little tiny steps and soon realized that obviously when you're in a session with someone, it's got nothing to do with you as the coach. It's all about them. It was actually 60 minutes away from, you know, a really kind of painful time. And it was just, it was my therapy. It became my way out. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And obviously, you know, and you fall back on all the tools that you've learned and you just use that. And it was my way through it. And it gave me strength when I really thought I had none. So I just think if you have something, you know, it could be, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be a profession. It could be something that you do on the side or just that kind of thing that you love. It can really help you through some difficult times. And that was something I had no clue about before.
Definitely. I'm very sorry for your loss. Yeah. And the strength that you have come out with, it's great that you're in a career where you can also help build that in others as well. So kind of just taking it right back, how did you, I think I, you know, we started down the path of you were on this commuter train thinking about all these different things. But I mean, how on earth did coaching come to you? Had you had some coaching before, or and how did you find out about it as a profession and think, right, that's the one for me?
So I'd always loved sort of self-help books. They covered my shelves. I feel sort of, you know, take the mickey out of me for it. But I was always drawn to that, and just learning about psychology and reading business books. I just was sort of naturally drawn to it without realizing where that might lead. And then I think it was through the process of reading some of those, they kept mentioning coaches. I thought, who are these people? What does that mean? Because coaching is sort of relatively new, isn't it? It's not that old. And then I think I got to a point where I must have had a really awful day at work combined with a terrible commuting day where I thought, oh my God, I can't do this on my own. I need some help. Again, I hear that a lot from clients where they've tried everything by themselves. And there's just something about having someone on your side who's with you, encouraging you, probing you with questions, just having that sort of objective person holding your hand, that makes a huge difference. And I thought, I can't do this alone. I need someone to help me. And I think I must have Googled life coaches and eventually found someone who had a more of a focus on careers. By working with them, well, I just thought, you have the best job in the world. I love what you do. I'm so jealous. And just to say that career, that sort of career envy, career jealousy thing is such a brilliant clue. It can tell you so much about, well, why are you so jealous about them? Don't necessarily let that eat you up. Use that. And I guess then that led to looking into, training courses. And I kind of did that on the side and, you know, built.
You did that while you were still working?
Yeah. Mm. All on the side. And then I think eventually went part time and started building up clients, and then eventually went full time. But it took a while.
It's a good way of doing it. Mm. You know, doing a bit on the side to see if it will work. Mm. Although it must have been quite nerve wracking in the end to have take that step and resign.
Well, again, life not doing what I wanted it to do. That last step, I believe, when I still had the part time job, I think I could have quit, but I was scared. And then I believe because it was on a contract, and I think it was around Christmas time, the contract ended and I got a phone call, a nice phone call from my former boss, but it wasn't going to be renewed. And kind of I thought, right, what do I do? Do I get another part-time job or do I just go for this? And maybe it was, I don't know, something somewhere was trying to tell me, just go for it now, it's time. But maybe if I hadn't lost it, maybe I would have hung on a bit longer. Yeah, so sometimes things intervene and just kind of give you a nudge without you really asking for it.
And I suppose also this is something I often say to women, that if you take that step and it doesn't work out, nothing is irreversible. You know, you could, especially if you'd secured a number of contracts in the past, if it hadn't worked out, the coaching, you could have gone on to secure more contracts in the future. Well, it's been really interesting talking to you, and there's so much information both in this podcast and, of course, we have your downloadable fact sheet, which is all about helping people set goals. So I guess I have a final question for you, which is around what goals have you set for yourself this year, if any?
Yeah, well, I've sort of thought about that, and I'm sort of in a quite a reflective place at the moment. Yeah, the past couple of years, our experience with COVID is, you know, lots of people have been through really tough things and loss. And we had a recent loss in our extended family, which kind of really made me think about this. And I thought, what do I really want, you know, in the coming year, in the coming months? And it wasn't about massive kind of, I don't know, business goals or a massive career achievement. I feel like I'm sort of happy with that. And it was actually about, my word for the year is balance. I just want to focus on seeing people I love, hanging out with people I care about. And that thing you said about tiredness, it's funny. Again, I think lots of mums can identify with burnout and feeling generally knackered and needs being further down the list. And I want to focus on, yeah, my health and well-being and finding time to just, yeah, doing things that make me feel better in myself. That's really
yes.
important too. So,
well, I wish you a very happy and balanced new year. So thank you very much.
Oh, pleasure.
I hope that gave you some insight into how you can go about setting yourself some realistic goals for 2022. I really liked Juliet's idea of breaking it all down into bite-sized chunks and focusing on how things make you feel rather than feeling as though you have to come up with some huge, tangible goals that are going to wow the world and everyone around you. And of course, Juliet's goal for greater balance, I think that's something that I and many of us would be happy if we could achieve a lot more of this year. Juliet has written a brilliant article and she's giving away a free goal planning tool on our website this month. Just go to www.careeringintomotherhood.com and you'll find it available on the homepage. Have a very happy new year, and I'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another professional career coach offering more of her coaching expertise.